Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland in today for Carl Gerke. And joining me now is Julie Hoffman of East River Nursery in Huron for our semi-regular gardening and planting segment for our Mondays this summer. And Julie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Good to be here, Kara, on this cold, wet day.
Cold, I know. Freeze warnings. What do we do?
What do we do? That's the big question. My phone has been ringing off the hook this morning. You know, I guess we'll start at the beginning. For those plants that are up, people are worried about a broad spectrum of things. And one of my first questions today was, what do I do with my perennials and trees and shrubs that are all leafed out that are coming up? Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is that for the most part, unless we get down to the freeze warning 30s or in the high 20s for a long period of time, and it all depends on the time frame, of course. Most of the things that have been out are acclimated. The trees, shrubs, things like that aren't probably going to get hurt much. We might lose a few flowers. They might get nipped on the ends a little bit, some of the trees that are just leafing out. But for the most part, we probably don't have to worry about covering and bustling about trying to worry about those. What we will have to worry about, though, are the things that are definitely warm weather creatures. So if you've potted up that pretty pot of flowers on your deck or patio, those definitely have to come in for the evening. And what we're seeing, too, is if you've had things like for our greenhouse, we tell people we keep our greenhouses at about 50 degrees at night now. We're down to about 50. But if we're putting those things out that are growing, say perennial flowers or annual flowers, we would leave them out overnight, they would get nipped. They probably would frost or turn black on you. So if you have planted some of those perennial flowers, definitely want to do some covering for those. The other plants that we're going to really worry about are all those tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers and
yep.
all of those things that everyone, you know, thought, oh boy, we're past that hard part of the season, and they've got them planted out in the garden. They definitely are not warm, you know, cold weather creatures. They need to be kept warm. In fact, these weeks now that we've had, and last week we woke up in the morning a week ago Monday, it was 33,
right.
35. 38. The tomatoes and those warm weather things do not do well in cold weather, wet weather, cold, wet soils. You may see some things going on with your tomatoes where they kind of turn purplish color on the leaves. That's an indication they're not absorbing nutrients correctly. They're not going to be thriving, but definitely want to cover those up if you've got anything like that out in the garden. If you can bring, they're in pots or that sort of thing on your patio, bring them in by all means.
Okay, so I had an email from Greg who bought his tomato plants this weekend, but didn't get around to planting them.
Good
Does
for
he
Greg.
Just leave them in the garage?
Leave them in the garage. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, don't put them out. And he was very wise to wait. And we've had people telling us, we're all so starved to be out in the garden, hungry to be digging and getting those green things growing. And of course, we want to be the first guy in the block with tomatoes by the 4th of July.
Right.
Yep. So what happens, though, and I've had numerous customers tell me, my neighbors get out there and are planting things at the beginning of May, and, I wait till Memorial Day weekend to plant. And, my tomatoes are just as far along, and I get them just as early as those people that were out really early in the season trying to get things to grow. So some of the old-timers are pretty wise in saying, well, maybe wait till Memorial Day and do your planting.
Well, I love to pot my flowers on Mother's Day, but I've just so many times I've had to bring them all in.
You have.
That I don't even go shopping now until the end of May.
Until the end of May. And I think, the longer we live here, although, some of us never learn. we got to be out, when it's, when you have 80 degrees in April, you're going,
mm-hmm.
wow.
Right, let's get started.
Let's get going. Let's get everything going. But, we warn people that, it's just last average frost date for us is around Mother's Day. And here we're the week after, 2 weeks almost after, and we're still having that frost warning. And snow. Someone came
and
in
snow.
To work this morning and said they had snowflakes. They only live 15 miles away from here, and they had snowflakes in the air where they live. So, yes.
Huh. Now, can the snow serve as an insulation?
It can. For those people out in Rapid City and the hills where they mm-hmm. had those perennials and shrubbery and things up, that blanket of snow before cold temperatures can be a good insulator. So those, they would be looking for that. What we worry about, and also, you know, if it stays cloudy and a little bit of wind, that helps keep our temperatures up too. It's those nights, though, that when the clouds clear off and it gets just as still as can be, that's when we have to worry about those really hard frosts.
And what about, you know, some sweet corn that was planted early when it was, you know, 80 degrees in April and
that,
might get nipped?
I've had farmers in actually that are customers of ours and said their wheat has been nipped by these frosts. You know, if the corn is coming up, definitely could have a little bit of damage on that. Had a gentleman in this last weekend that said he had potatoes up that were about a foot tall and they turned all black last Monday. That frost got them last Monday. So there will be some people replanting. I'm sure of that. It's difficult to cover everything.
Yeah, that's really all you can do because you can't cover an entire field, right?
No. Although I had a lady this morning that has quite a few plants, you know, large area of garden, wondering how she was going to cover everything. And I said, well, you just have to do the best that you can. And difficult, too, because, of course, it's windy outside and you may put your blankets or coverings or whatever you might use on, but, you know, three minutes later, it's gone. So you'll have to kind of peg them down or stake them down because the wind will take them away, too. And that's a good, you know, people are asking the question, what should I use to cover?
Right.
The, you know, something cloth, something fabric is better. We find that plastic, rolls of plastic don't always work really well. Plastic sometimes doesn't insulate very well. So that's not always the best thing, although I do have people that use, you know, if you don't have a lot of plants, a five-gallon a bucket with, you know, flipped upside down over the plant will give you some air insulation space. People will use those. Have everybody using everything from coats and jackets to sheets and pillowcases and whatever they can find around the house.
Well, do you run the risk of a heavy blanket of smushing them?
Well, you do. You know, you have to, if you've got something that is quite tender, you might have to do a little bit of staking, you know, put some stakes in the ground before you throw a blanket over the top. Or you, yes, definitely could end up breaking it off and kind of defeating the purpose.
Right. Why am I saving? Yeah. I mean, I have some lovely, lovely little flowers that have yet to open, and I don't want them to turn black tomorrow, you know.
Right. So some stakes in the ground would be a good idea before you throw your covering around them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a good tip. So what then, when we see the warm up, what should we do? What's next?
Well, you know, the evaluation, if you've got some things that are turning black, of course, you know, right away, well, I probably need to replant. We may see, I know we've already seen earlier on maple trees and some of our trees and shrubs where we've got some frost damage already. You know, those new emerging buds were frosted. And then as the plants start to emerge and the leaves start to get larger, we're seeing forms of the leaf. They'll be kind of tattered or with holes in them, or they may have blackened, sunken areas in them. Some of those would be from frost damage. So we're going to see a lot of those things, and it's more of an evaluation of bringing in samples to your local garden center or your extension office. They can help you to determine if it is frost damage or if it's, you know, insect or disease. What we see, too, on a lot of things that are damaged by frost, that kind of opens them up to be more prone to getting disease or insects invading into them. When plants are under stress, it's kind of like us. When we're under stress, we tend to get sick.
Right.
and trees and shrubs can do the same thing. We started out the season really dry, and we weren't anticipating seeing a lot of fungus problems like we have had in wet years. But now, of course, the whole thing has flipped on us, and we're seeing lots of rain and moisture and cool temperatures. So we suspect that we're going to be seeing more of the diseases in trees, scab diseases and rusts and things like that. So keep your eyes open for that.
Well, I have just one, you know, personal question. We had to take down two 18-year-old trees because of disease and because of some ice damage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you replant right away, or do you let your ground kind of rejuvenate from taking down two trees?
You can plant right away. What we find most of the time that you can't plant right back in the same spot. That's difficult to do. Even if you've had the tree stumps routed or ground or whatever, we find that they don't always go down really deep. And once you start digging for the new tree, you're going to run into some root system down there. So if at all possible, if you can move it one side or the other, that would be good.
Awesome. Julie Hoffman, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Good to be here.
Julie Hoffman of East River Nursery in Huron joining us. Want to thank all of my guests, Matthew McLarty, Dana Losek, and Greg Veerman, and also Todd Melby. Thanks also to Steve Zwemke and Keely Bultina for their assistance with the program today. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for joining us.